Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 8. Paul has begun his letter. He has encouraged young Timothy in the Lord, and he follows up and gives you some of the heart of why he writes this young apprentice named Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner. But join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard that which I have entrusted to him for that day. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you. Thank you for the truth that is before our eyes. Holy Spirit, would you enable us not just to see it, but to understand it. Not just to understand it, but that rather it might become part of our thinking, part of our life. Holy Spirit, teach us how, and equip us and strengthen us that we might be able to live out what you pour in. Please, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a trip with me up the East Coast to the state of Massachusetts. My grandmother had a cottage right there on the coast, just above the Cape Cod Canal. Go back, well, a few years. And I was just a little kid. And we would go down over the rocks to the beach. And I remember being down there with my brothers one day. And this man came up. He was ancient, probably 18, 20 years old. And he came up to the shoreline. And you understand that there's just a little ways out a sandbar. And there's a sand shark, 3-4 feet long. And he was circling around. And he was going out past the sandbar. And he was coming in between the sandbar and the shore. And we were fascinated with this, probably scared to death with it as well. And this big guy comes up and he said, I'm going to go out there and catch that shark. He said, I'm just going to walk out into that water. And when he swims by, I'm going to grab him by the tail. Man. You the man. And so this guy, sure enough, walks out there into the water. The shark's on the other side of the sandbar, and he's standing about knee deep or so in water. And here comes the sand shark. He's circling around, and here comes that big guy out of the water. He didn't catch any sand shark. He was scared. I read this passage and I ask myself, Paul, why would Timothy be ashamed? Why would he even struggle with that? Why would that even be a possibility? Why would that even be a temptation to be ashamed to testify about the Lord? Oh, let's think through that. Maybe because Christ wasn't the king that they expected. And so if you testify about Christ, somebody might look at you and go, oh man, you're talking about Jesus, the guy that hung on the cross? He's dead. No, he's really alive. If he were alive, he would be seated on the throne. Come on, man. Don't you know what's going on in the culture? Rome still rules. And no, your Christ is not king. Well, what about Paul? Look at what Paul's done. You're talking about the guy in prison? You're going to tell me that this stuff you're talking about, Jesus and what he did and dying on the cross and how it changes lives? Look at Paul. If Jesus really changed lives, Timothy, get real. Would Paul be in prison? Could I sign up for that one? And so Timothy might be ashamed to talk about Jesus or even about Paul. Well, or it might be that Timothy was young, and to have such a leadership role in the early church at such an early age was uncommon. And people, he says later, don't let them look down on your youth, Timothy, because people would have said, oh, what do you know? You haven't been alive long enough to talk like you do, Timothy. Well, you're right. I shouldn't talk about Jesus like that. And he might have been ashamed. And quite frankly, I think Timothy struggled just with being timid. Can anybody identify with this? I know we don't like to use words like I'm ashamed to testify about Jesus, but let's be honest with ourselves. How many of us are actually really bold with the gospel, the good news about Jesus? I mean, even Paul seemingly struggled with it, for at the end of Ephesians in chapter 6, after talking about the spiritual battle, and you understand it is as much, the enemy doesn't want you to be bold. And so Paul says, pray for the saints. He says, pray for me, that I would speak fearlessly the gospel. So there are multiple reasons why we might be rather reluctant to share the gospel, the good news about Jesus. Do you struggle with that? Maybe there have been moments of shining glory where God's Spirit grabbed hold of your heart and your lips, and with boldness you proclaimed the gospel. And you walked away not with the thought of, boy, I'm something. You walked away with, God, you are awesome. And maybe there have been other times where you were afraid to. And you were afraid they'd ask a question you didn't have the answer to. You might have been a little bit embarrassed. You don't like to use that kind of language, but maybe your life isn't perfect yet. And so you're afraid they might point out something in your life, and instead of being able to tell them about Christ, you're afraid to tell them about you. You see, I think what Paul is telling Timothy here is to be bold. And I think he gives him some real good reasons why he ought to be bold. I think this is more of a charge as Paul writes his last letter to Timothy. I think as he turns over sort of kind of the reins to the church, to 1 Timothy, as Paul knows he's entering in his last days, I think he's firing this guy up. I liken it to this. I see Paul with a bicycle pump, and he's attached the valve to Timothy, and he's just pumping this kid up. But he's pumping him up with all the right stuff. So that when Paul's gone, Timothy's got all the equipment that he needs to do the ministry that God's called him to do. So I want to challenge you this morning. I want you to be bold. Here's the first reason. Have no shame. By the way, that's not a question for your sermon title, and so it wasn't conspicuously missing a question mark at the end. It's not a question. It's a command. Have you no shame? Don't have any. You be bold. Because, well, let's look at it. Don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord. Verse 8. Wait. You went way too fast. Okay. Don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord. Did you miss that? Who is he? He's the Lord of the universe. He controls everything. He spoke into existence what exists. He sovereignly rules over all of creation, and he's mine. He is yours. He is our Lord. He's yours. He's in charge of your world. The sovereign Lord of the universe cares to be involved in your life and mine personally. Possessive pronoun, personal language. He is ours corporately. He belongs to us as Lord of us. Now I want you to let that sink in for a moment and ask yourself, what does a Lord or the Lord do? Anything he wants? He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He is our Lord. So when you walk into a situation and God dumps somebody on your doorstep and says, tell them about me. They need to know. You don't go alone. You're not by yourself. The sovereign God of the universe who said, let there be light, and it existed, is right there. He's your Lord. He's our Lord. So don't be ashamed. You've got God right there with you. So the way I see it, whoever is on the receiving end of the gospel hadn't got a chance. It's not fair. It's two against one. And really, it's one against one. You just kind of get to be the monkey in the middle who tells them. Isn't that cool? The Lord of the universe is our Lord, and he goes with us into the opportunity to share the gospel. It might affect us if we were consciously aware that he was our Lord in the way that we conducted ourselves. But I think maybe it's more like this. We find ourselves in situations, and if God ever opened our eyes, we'd go, ah, who are you? And he's been right there the whole time. He's our Lord. You be bold because he is our Lord. Second reason, have no shame. Don't be ashamed. You be bold. Why? Well, let's read down. Don't be ashamed because to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me as prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, watch this, who has saved us. Watch how that happened. Who has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done. So those of you who are playing that game, God's not playing, who think that somehow this relationship with the Father is based on something you've done. I was good today so I can talk to the Father. I was bad yesterday so I didn't get a chance to talk to him. It doesn't work that way. My good outweighs my bad, so I guess I'm going to heaven. Guess again. It's not based on anything that you and I have done. Okay, just write that down in your mind and put an exclamation point at the end of it. Your salvation, your eternity in heaven, your relationship with the living Christ is based on absolutely nothing you have done. Okay, that should have jolted you a little better than that. It is based on absolutely nothing you have done. That's what Paul tells you. That's what he tells Timothy. Let's think about it for a moment. Suppose that your salvation is based on what you did yesterday. What happens if you do something to nullify that today? Bummer. I hate when that happens. But it's not. That's what Paul is saying, is that your salvation is based on what Christ has done, not what you have done. But because of his own purpose and grace. Break that down for a minute. The Lord Jesus Christ saved you on purpose. He had purpose for you to live out in obedience to Him the truth of His Word. He's cut you out differently than anybody else, and He has specific purpose for you in this world, here and now. If He didn't want you here and now, He would have put you somewhere else. If He didn't want you for Himself, and if He didn't have purpose for you, He wouldn't have saved you. But He has purpose for you, and thus He saved you on purpose. So what does He cut you out for? Well, I promise you, it will include declaring the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into the light. He wants the world to see Him in you. He saved you on purpose, and He saved you by His grace, which means it is unmerited. It's just like Paul, exclamation point after exclamation point. You didn't do this. You can't do it. You won't do it. You'll never do it. He did it, period. And thus the words of Jesus, it is finished. He did it. You be bold because He saved you. When did He do that? Now this ought to blow your mind if it hasn't already. Keep reading with me. This grace was given us in Christ back in 1965. Okay, don't miss this. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus when? Before time ever began. Before there was an earth. Before He created. This is repeated in Ephesians. It's repeated in Titus. God did this work before He ever created day one. So what I want you to understand about your God is God didn't create this lovely place called the earth and everything was peaches and cream till He created us and we destroyed it all and then God went, oh my word, what am I going to do? You understand that before He ever started any of this, He had picked His Son to come die for us because He knew exactly what would happen. I'm sorry, but my tiny little brain can't drink that in. I have a hard time thinking outside of time. But Paul says this salvation that He gave to you and me, He started before the world was ever created, before time ever began. How does that make us bold? I don't know, but it seems like we get so locked into the here and now that we forget in the scheme of eternity, the here and now. I'm not sure you can even see the dot without a microscope. You hear what I'm saying? This began in eternity past and will continue for eternity future. And I worry about what somebody might think about me in that little tiny speck on the spectrum of eternity. Are you kidding me? You be bold because Jesus has saved you. If you won the lottery, you'd want to tell the whole world. You'd probably, some of you would tell the whole world. Others of you would keep it a secret because you'd be afraid they'd take it away from you. You'd have friends you didn't know you had. I'd be knocking on your door. And some of us treat our salvation that way. I can't tell, I might lose that stuff. No way. It doesn't work that way. God saved you on purpose, and part of that is to declare His praises who called you out of darkness and into His light. What are you afraid of? He saved you. Be bold. Don't be ashamed. Be bold because He saved you. It started before the beginning of time, verse 10, but it's been revealed now. That happened before the beginning of time, but now God's showing us what happened by revealing Christ to us, His appearing, and watch what He did. I really like this. He has destroyed death. He renders it inoperable. It can't do anything anymore. So, Timothy, if you're worried about suffering for the Lord, if you're worried, what's the worst they can do, Timothy? Well, he could kill me. Wow, that'd be awesome, because then you'd be with Jesus face to face. Death won't do anything to you anymore. It will usher you now into my presence, because Jesus stopped death from doing what it used to do. Death used to be a separation from God for all eternity. But in salvation, now Christ ushers you into the presence of God through this thing called death. It's not a separation anymore. It's a reunion. He rendered it inoperable. And not only did he destroy death, but he brought life. He got rid of death in terms of what it could do to us, and he gives us life. So why aren't we bold? Why aren't we bold? He saved us. Have no shame. Thirdly, be bold. You be bold because Jesus made you a herald, a proclaimer, a declarer. Verse 11. And of this gospel, this good news about Jesus, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. And you say, well, that's great. Paul was, you know, he was an apostle and all that stuff. And, you know, he was supposed to tell people, you will be my witnesses, Acts 1:8. Ring any bells? Make disciples, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. Do you understand that he called you to be a herald? Let's suppose after church, your cell phone rings, you're on your way to lunch, and you pick up the phone, and it's God on the other side. Now, first of all, you wouldn't believe it, but if I could make you believe that it was true and God was calling, and he asked you to pick up a loaf of bread on your way home, would you do it? I'm kind of busy, God. Are you kidding? You would go by, you'd pick up every kind of loaf. Maybe he wants white, maybe he wants wheat, maybe he wants rye. I don't know. I'll get it all. Because God called you to do that. Do you understand that he's called you to do-do-do-do, to proclaim? No, that wasn't another song, and it better not be on the internet. God called you to proclaim his good news. God called you to tell others about him. And the calling is as if he picked up the phone and called you by name. And he said, I've saved you, I am your Lord, and I have called you to proclaim the good news about Jesus Christ. So don't be ashamed. If people want to mock your Christ, they'll have to take that up with God the Father. You need to deliver the message because your daddy called you to do that. Don't be ashamed. Be bold. And fourth, finally, have no shame. You be bold because Jesus has given you knowledge. I really like this. Although it would appear that this was even a struggle for Paul. Paul, who was so bold in his faith. Paul, who seemed to live to tell others about Christ. Paul, who I can see as they put the shackles on their hands, I can hear Paul in his mind thinking, all right, God, do I get to share with this guy? Wonder what guards you're going to send in here tonight that are going to be my congregation. And yet he asks for prayer that he would proclaim fearlessly the gospel. And then this Paul comes alongside Timothy at the end of this paragraph. And he says, this is why I'm suffering as I am, yet I'm not ashamed. Let me encourage you, Timothy, I'm not ashamed. You know why? Because I know whom I have believed. Paul wasn't talking about Bible trivia at that point. He was talking about, you know the word, don't you? He was talking about the word relationship. I know Christ. Wasn't that Paul's prayer in Philippians? I count everything as rubbish next to knowing Christ. Wasn't that his desire? Wasn't that his practice? And now he says, I know whom I have believed. I am confident in Christ. I walk with him daily. Do you know he hangs out in the prison? Do you know he hangs out where you go? I'm not ashamed because I know whom I have believed. I know Christ personally, experientially. Be bold. If you don't know Jesus, you got nothing to be bold about. But when you know the living Christ, you've got something to be bold about. I'm not ashamed because I know whom I have believed. And this is what I know about him. I am convinced. I'm confident. I know it beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's able to guard my deposit. He's able to guard what I've entrusted him for that day. What has Paul entrusted to the care of Jesus? I remember talking with a fellow some years ago in an office. He was sitting across the desk from me. We were talking about the gospel, about walking with Christ, and he looked at me and he said, do you believe all that? And I sort of probably pondered where in the world he was coming from with that question and how best to answer him. And I looked back across the desk and I said to him, I bet my life on it. And I think that's what Paul's telling you. I'm confident that he's able to keep my life. Okay? Let me shatter your confidence if it's in something or someone else, including you. You able to keep your life? Are you confident of that? You think you can handle it? Do you think you got eternity by the reins and you're just going to sweep yourself right on in there? How confident are you? 80%? 90%? What if you're wrong? I promise you, you are if you're trusting anything or anyone other than the living Christ. You want this confidence? 100%? Paul says, I know him personally. I walk with him. So be confident. Be bold. Don't be ashamed. Because he's your Lord. Because he saved you. Because he called you to be a herald. Because he's given you knowledge, relationship with himself. Okay, let's travel forward in time. And let's walk out those doors to the shorelines of this community. You afraid of the sharks in the water? Me too. But I got every reason to boldly proclaim the truth that they so desperately need to hear. How about let's go catch some sharks? Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word. You embolden us to proclaim fearlessly the gospel of Christ. We cannot muster up that kind of courage. It's not in us without you. But Lord Jesus, you reside in those who know you through saving faith. By your grace, we know you. You are our Lord. You have saved us. You have called us to proclaim the goodness of Christ. And we get to know you. Oh, Lord, that we would know you so personally, so by experience in our lives as we study your word. May we know you in such a way that we might boldly proclaim and not be ashamed and not be afraid, but fearlessly. May we charge into the waters because we go not alone, and may we catch sharks, and may we see the God of the universe explode on the scene, and by the power of the gospel, turn their lives inside out. May we see that, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.